everybody, and welcome to 90s Court.
Welcome back to 90s Court. It's me and Lisa Pants.
Andy, I am so glad.
Is the name of me, and I'm gonna keep doing this while she dances.
I'm glad you actually took over, because I started choking on like a nut that I had eaten earlier, so it came out of nowhere. So,
I could see through the ether. Like, that's the great thing about this show is we literally have, like, it's been so long since we've done a face-to-face where we, like, online where we could see each other via video. Oh, yeah. I guess I'll let you. I did interrupt you saying your name. You can do that first.
I guess I'm Lisa. I suppose I'm still Lisa.
I am. Probably. I can say with 100% certainty that I am Andy Clodfelter.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I'm glad that you feel that confidence within yourself. So,
I don't feel confident in any elements of myself, like, as a human being, but I do feel confident that is my name.
That's awesome. Good. I'm glad that we have resolved that.
I'm sorry.
We feel
I lied.
Confident in who we are.
My first name is actually Andrew.
So. Andrew. I've always felt like two things. I've never felt like my name was Lisa, and I don't think that names are real.
I think you've mentioned the I don't think names are real thing, and every time you've said it, you're like, but I don't want to get into that. And I'm like, I don't know what we could possibly get into. Like,
we should just pull. You know what? That's our next Patreon episode. Is me unpacking all my neuroses.
Lisa and I's things are canceled this episode. We're just going to talk about Lisa's insane ideas about things.
Nobody owns land, Andy.
Oh my god!
It's just not a thing. It's not a thing. It's just not a thing. You can buy property all you want to, but
I'm looking forward to visiting the independent states of Lisa Pants after she gets attacked by the U.S. government.
That's true. That's probably reasonable.
Yeah.
But listen, you didn't come here to listen to my weird, they're not conspiracy theories. They're just bad ideas. You didn't come here to listen to my bad ideas. You came here to listen to 90s Court. So before we get started, we wanted to talk about this amazing write-up that a dude named Al, right? It's Al, right? Al? Thank you. Al did this incredible write-up. He's over at Cassette Gazette, which is the best name ever.
CassetteGazette.substack.com.
What do you want to say? Best article.
Yeah, there was a longer, like, actual abbreviation for it, but I was like, that's kind of like the main website, and then I think from there you can use some prompts to get to us. But, man, that art, like, it was so unexpected. Like, it was just out of the blue. We're like, because here's the thing. This is going to sound really braggy or whatever, and it's not meant to be. People ask us to do stuff like collaborations and all that stuff all the time, and, like, most of the time we're just like, we just don't have time for a lot of that stuff. But
which is true.
But Lisa, when she saw, like, she was looking it over, and she's like, well, this person actually sounds like they actually, like, listen to our show versus just, like, some random person being like, hey, really love the show. And you have no way of confirming it. That's true. Anyways, do you want to do this? Like, so we're like, okay, sweet. So we started answering some questions, and man, just, like, it was, like, I was expecting it just to be, here's the questions that they answered and how they answered them. And instead it was just this beautiful, amazing write-up with just examples from so many different episodes of the show.
Yes.
It was so cool.
Detailed examples. Yeah. Al did his work big time.
Yeah. So if you guys follow us on social media at all, you should definitely hop in there. You should be able to find a link to the write-up in there pretty easily. So,
it was the best. Like, all my family was loving reading it, and they were like, wow, like, I didn't know you guys had such a thing going on. It's like, yeah, we've been doing this almost 2 years, you guys. Like, listen to the show sometimes. It's actually pretty good. I enjoy it. I super enjoy my own podcast that I do with my buddy Andy.
I'll throw him under the bus because, like, this podcast, I'm like, this is fine. Like, my family doesn't listen to this one, which is totally fine. But, like, my little brother. Mm-hmm. Like, he was over visiting, like, a couple weeks ago, and he, like, accidentally brought up podcasts or whatever, he accidentally brought it up, and I'm just sitting there, like, I'm like, okay, like, but apparently he registered in mind, it's like talking about insurance in front of an insurance salesman or something like that. We're like, oh no, now they're going to try and sell me something. I'm like, I don't like the idea that, like, because I podcast, like, I've never tried to push anything on anybody. But he's like, I might check yours out sometime. I'm like, no, you won't.
Like, and that's okay.
That's like, and that's fine.
You're just
like,
missing
out. I didn't ask you to. You just brought it up yourself. So it tickles me every time that people are like, I might check it. I'm like, you won't, but that's fine.
That's very sweet of you to say. It's so cute of you to lie. But the article is very, very rad. It's super well written. Lots of fun anecdotes. Stuff that, like, I don't even think that Andy and I would have thought to go that deep into. He did.
There was an analysis of some different things that I'm like, I never came to that conclusion that that's the reason for XYZ, but that totally makes sense. Like,
you're right. That is how we met. Holy crap. That's so amazing. No, it was great. So
crazy kids.
Yeah.
So, hey, patrons. Hey, folks. So like last week we wanted to get back with our new season and just kind of just pound it out and get it done. So we didn't do any of our shout outs last week. So we are making up for it double time this week. So Lisa and I are both going to be doing shout outs to all of our wonderful judges and bailiffs. Judge Troy. Thank you, Troy. You are the man. Thank you for always being on board and being amazing. To our illustrious bailiffs, Bailiff Tim, you're the man. Bailiff Preston, love you. Bailiff Michael, you're rad. Bailiff Nate, also rad. Bailiff Jake, my dude.
And I'm going to cover the rest of them. Check this out, Judge Anthony. What's up? Bailiff Alyssa, my dear. Sending air kisses that you cannot see or hear and mercifully cannot smell. Bailiff Lindsay. I have peanuts. No one wants
that. We'll circle back to the kiss smells.
No. We have Bailiff Lindsay. Thank you so much, Bailiff Vincent. Oh, Bailiff Vincent, my coffee friend. Bailiff Jacqueline, what's up? Bailiff David, we love you. God, thank you. We love you.
We love you. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. You all get a special Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yes, thank you. We love
you. All of you guys. You're all the best. And we will, I think it'll be a future episode. We'll probably have to cover we'll need a lot of time for this. But for a future 90s Court episode, I think it will be about the rank ass kisses that Lisa has.
You know what? It was just
the
listen,
stankiest kisses of all time.
It's the chocolate almond nuggets from Costco. I had one, and now there's the whole situation. It's not like I ate like pickles and onions and fish, but it's, you know.
Just
anyway, thanks, Andy.
Just so bad. It was such a good, I've never heard those, a kiss and a smell combined. It's like a thought, and so I just had to, so.
Never met me. Well, no, you have met me, just kidding.
I have met you barely.
Exactly one time.
Yeah, do you want to know what my impression of, the only impression I had of Lisa was when I met her in person?
Ouch, what was it? No, sneezing.
No, it's like, she's taller than I thought she'd be.
That's right.
And that was it. She's taller than I thought she'd be.
Yep. Well, yeah. Texan women can sometimes, if you're either gymnast level small or you're tree trunk so big.
We build them big here in Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas, especially your legs.
Yeah. Okay.
That was not coming from Andy. That was coming from a generalized Texan voice. So
that's fine. Okay.
Andy's thing. We do things Andy's on this thing. Show. So I'm going to do one of those now to save my own self from this awkward conversation. Mm-hmm. Hey, folks. So back in the 90s, you know I like to talk about video games, right?
I guess.
We're back with some video games. And listen, there are very few things that were video games that I had as much vigor and enthusiasm for when I heard about it coming out. And this is when I'm under 10 years old, right? So I'm in my youth ages. There was a resurgence around in the early 90s. I'm sure probably in the 80s too, but big time with a lot of comic books becoming popular. Maybe it was popular for longer than that, but for me at least in my town, all of a sudden comic books started getting really big. And so I had a whole bunch of them. Now, I will say a lot of it was for the artwork just because it was super dope. Bearing in mind, this is 6, 7, and 8-year-old Andy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the comic books that I had the most of were absolutely 100% Spider-Man and Venom comic books.
Venom was cool.
Yeah. Venom is fucking rad, except in the movies, because they apparently cannot make a good Venom movie, and that makes my heart hurt.
That is sad.
So I was pretty excited because anytime I would get a Venom comic, I was so excited because he was technically my favorite dude because he's just hey, I'm Spider-Man, but better. And so I was extremely enthusiastic when both Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis came out with a game that it felt like it was so specific because there's no way there was that big of an audience worldwide to all be yes, I want this.
Mm-hmm.
But the game was called Maximum Carnage. For both Super Nintendo and Genesis. Because I knew who Carnage was, but it felt like it was such a deep pull even then to know who Carnage was. Because it's basically, kind of Venom is kind of a bad guy in the whole thing, in the Spider-Man universe and everything. But Carnage is possibly the worst villain in any comic books ever. Maybe not the worst, most powerful, but he is the most crazy and terrible one. And
really,
I actually read up on him a little bit just so I didn't because I was I remember him and I played the game actually in preparation for this because...
You played it in preparation? You got to play it.
Yeah, so I have a little handheld gaming thing that I bought a while ago that has 1,000 games on it, and it was like 40, wow. 45 bucks, and it was on there, so I was like, I guess I'll check this out too. I'll tell you what, game's actually really, really good. Like, I was surprised that, like, as a game that's that old, that it was still good. It's very much akin to, like, Streets of Rage. For your comparison, Lisa, that would make it easier for you, like The Simpsons.
I see that. You know, I see a through line
here. The side-scrolling thing where, like, more enemies come. There are certain parts where you can throw stuff, but the thing was that this one had a lot more... You could do a lot of stuff as Spider-Man or Venom. Like, you could shoot webs at people, pull them in, uppercut them, punch them, kick them, trip them, all that kind of stuff. And then you could, like, shoot webs up in the sky and, like, swing over people and stuff. So it was a tough game. It was not an easy game by any stretch of the imagination. But I've also noticed that every time I go back to play an old game since I've been on this show, I forget that I am so bad at video games now compared to that. Like, I don't know if it's been we've been spoiled or what it is, but, like, man, I just get wrecked in those games immediately. I'm like, how did I make it so far in these games?
I understand that, yeah.
But I did watch a little bit of a walkthrough because I know I'd made it to at least the part where you became Venom. Because if not, I would be like, I hate this game. I wanted to play as Venom and I only got to play as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So basically you're running around and there's just random people you're fighting the entire game. Like, you know, kind of like The Simpsons where it's like random human beings. Like there'll be some old dudes, some teenagers and stuff. But then, like, there's this one part where these, like, bad guys are, like, a bunch of, like, grown-ass Girl Scouts. Like, they're, like, all wearing, like, a Girl Scout uniform, but they're probably, like, you know, full-ass adults.
Normal.
Yeah, so the game is, like, a lot of different things, you know, in addition to just the normal side-scroller fighting and stuff. There's also, like, you know, climbing stuff while other, like, things are coming at you and you have to swing out of the way and everything like that. This game was pretty dark, fam.
I would say I'm going through his, like, this looks pretty I saw an MA-13 on there.
Yeah, and I mean it's crazy. Like, I was just watching the walkthrough and it's like it's one of the few ones where I've seen where, like, when you have, like, what seems like a boss battle or whatever, like, mm-hmm. you're supposed to lose. Like, you're just like you beat, like, you get enough damage in, so it's like you technically won, but then, like, you do everything right and you still, your character just gets owned. And that plays into the storyline because then afterwards it cuts to comics or whatever. And then it's like, okay, and now you're playing as Venom after Spider-Man just got owned. And then Venom, similarly, wins another boss battle and then you get owned again. And then Spider-Man, who's been all, like, beat to shit in the comic and everything like that, is like, I guess I'll try and do it. And so then you have the choice later on to play as either Spider-Man in black costume or whatever, or Venom. And of course you play as Venom because...
Hell yeah.
You're not playing little wiener Spider-Man when you can play as Venom. It's just like, do I want to have, like, a really thin, thwippy web? Or do I want to have this tank-ass web that comes out of my hand and shoots, like, black goo at people and stuff, and I just look like I could eat people's heads in one bite?
Can I just say something out loud and have it on the record, unfortunately? Venom's kind of sexy for a villain.
If I'm being honest, for a
villain, not
for
villain.
A villain.
For
what,
a vellum.
What is a vellum? I know that's a thing. Okay.
That's as an accidental portmanteau of venom and vellum.
Venom and
Venom.
So, ugh. Venmo.
There it is.
So, but yeah, it's, I will say this, this is one of those ones where, like, because there's a lot of games where, like, they'll cut to, like, little pictures of people talking, like, with conversation bubbles because they don't have good enough audio to have, like, actual voices.
Mm-hmm.
This one worked perfectly because it's a comic book. So, like, they had, like, really good, like, comic book screens and everything like that pop up and everything. And one of the most notable things about this game that I was genuinely upset about as a child, but apparently they didn't make enough of them, was the original release of this on Super Nintendo was a bright red cartridge.
Awesome. That would have been really cool.
So, yeah, if you even search, like, Maximum Carnage video game or whatever, SNES, and, like, search the images, you'll see it.
It's really pretty. Yeah.
It's very akin to, like, the orange tape.
Yeah.
The orange tape for the Nintendo thing. So,
that's so weird.
But man, I remember, I doubt I beat this because, like, you know, they made games so hard back then. Like, I've talked about that so many times on this show, is just how much they made games difficult. But, like looking through the lore and everything like that, just watching this, I was like, holy crap. I forgot like how many different like Marvel heroes and stuff like that are tied up in that universe. I did go a little bit further down the rabbit hole real quick on Carnage, and they were just like the 15 worst things that Carnage did in the comic. And number 15 was throwing a baby out a window, which I like, that's number 15, so I didn't even want to keep going, so I just
Oh
wanted to
my
throw that in.
gosh, you like can stop right there. But I mean, sometimes babies are
I
annoying.
mean, yeah, he's like,
So
maybe it was just like he threw it like and it like landed on another rooftop, and then somebody else was like,
it's
hey, a
fine.
free baby.
I've always wanted a free
I've
baby.
always wanted one. And ironically, so this is funny because it's not like it was a total coincidence. Like as I was writing this, like I remembered, I'm like, aren't they doing like another Venom movie or whatever? And they are. And it's actually
They
Venom,
are.
Let There Be Carnage.
Well, there it is. It all ties up in a beautiful
Yep.
package.
And do you
A
want to know
beautiful,
who's going to be
sexy package.
playing the part of Carnage?
Okay, let me guess. William Dafoe. Please
No.
say William Dafoe. Damn
No,
it.
that would be good though. This is the weirdest one ever. Woody Harrelson.
Excuse me?
Because
Woody
Woody
Harrelson?
Harrelson, so the character that actually plays Carnage, the reason, like, because Venom's just like a normal ass dude, like getting absorbed by this thing, so he's evil, but he's like able to kind of control it. This dude is a serial killer before he gets hit by the goo or whatever, like the parasite thing. It takes over his body, and that's how he becomes Carnage. He's just a fucking psychopath. So
We
apparently,
love
this
it.
is going to have Woody Harrelson as an absolute psycho. So I'm pretty
I'm
excited for
into
that.
it. I'm
Yeah.
super into that, actually.
Oof.
Wow.
So, anyways, that was just an interesting tie-in for a new movie. So that's it. Maximum
There's
Carnage.
Maximum Carnage.
Ba
Thank you
ba
for that. I
ba
was
ba.
almost going to cover a video game too, but I didn't.
Aw, you like never
I
do. That would
know.
have been great. I would have
I
loved to hear
know,
it.
I know. But I was going to, but then I was like, hold on, actually, you don't know enough about this anymore to cover it, so you're gonna have to like prepare better than like 2 hours before the show. So maybe next week if we're feeling it, if we're feeling it. But Andy, my thing, my dear. Well, what do you? I mean, what do you think I'm covering? I'm covering music. That's what I do,
Okay.
right?
Okay.
Today, yeah, today I'm covering a
We're doing our bread
song
and butters
that.
today.
Yes, we are. We're back to basics, baby. I'm covering a song today that many consider to be a one-hit wonder, but gosh damn it, it's one
Whoa.
of the best songs
The
ever recorded.
best.
It's one of them. It's one of them. It's beyond a one-hit wonder. It's a fucking vibe, and I'm talking about the one, the only, Return of the Mac from Mark Morrison. Do you not know this?
So here's the thing.
Here we go. What?
I have like there's a friend of mine who references the Return of the Mac all the time. I don't know if I've heard that song before.
Andy.
Here's the thing. The problem is I say stuff like this and then other people hear it. And that's the worst part of this show is I say stuff like this and I know for a fact there are people who are just like, where has this child been? Where did this person exist where they did not have exposure to like any of this stuff? The
You
answer
didn't
is
have
Monticello,
Blockbuster.
Illinois.
You didn't have a Blockbuster. If I'm, as far as I'm convinced, your parents locked you into a very like a nice sized
Yes,
closet with a video
mommy.
game and a TV and
Hello.
said, here's some occasional food.
May I go outside at some point?
No. Stay in
All
there with
right.
your SNES.
I would subsist on Sega Genesis. Bagel bites and pizza rolls.
I think you did fine. I mean, you did well in your own way.
I
You
am
didn't hear
somehow
Return of the
alive.
Mac.
I had no
You didn't.
water.
You don't know Return of the Mac? Where's the actual, where's the
Yeah, get
chorus?
to the lyrics. Oh, I know this song.
I'm straight up, I'm
I know this
vibing
song.
so hard in my room
I
right
know this
now.
song. I'm sorry. I just didn't. I heard the name and I've heard the song, but I didn't tie the two of them together.
I know we're gonna get DMX striped.
Better
Striped
up my...
D D DMC D D Run DMC stroked. I can never remember how you say it. Whatever the case is, I just needed to vibe really hard. Listen, that song, Return of the Mac, is from the one, the only Mark Morrison. Okay, to this day, that song remains one of the best songs I have ever heard. Some songs are timeless, like Night Fever by Bee Gees,
Okay.
and then nothing else except for Mark Morrison's
That
Return of
was
the Mac.
it. Just the Return
That's
of the
it. The
Mac
only two
and Night
songs.
Fever by the Bee Gees.
That's it. Those are the only two songs that I'm like, timeless, baby, timeless. Bee Gees are maybe a little less timeless, but this one exists outside of time and space, okay? Mark Morrison is an R&B artist from the UK, and he dropped this incredible bomb on March 18th, 1996. So it actually went so far up in the U.S. that it hit number 2 on the U.S. Wow. Billboard Hot 100 and went platinum in the U.S. So that's kind of a big deal.
Whoa, this song, yeah, platinum for an out-of-country. Yeah, that's pretty big
deal. Yes, yes. And, like, it actually, this song was such a jam then, and it still remains just, like, one of the most bomb-ass tracks of all time. It was on the radio a ton and was one of those songs that I definitely bought as a CD single. Like, you would have albums in your CD case, but then you would also just have a few singles. I was like, this was one of them. And I played this bitch until it was like a scratched up looking. Just
gone.
Just mess. It just turned into dust inside of my record player. That was it. It was gone forever.
It's too bad, really, that half the listeners left after I said I hadn't heard Return of the Mac to hear the rest of your thing on
They
it.
Unsubscribed. They went to iTunes. They erased their review.
They left, they unsubscribed, and away. Disappeared just to have me, like, a few minutes later say, hey, can I hear the lyrics? I'm like, oh, yeah, I've heard this song.
Yeah. Everyone was already, like, angry tweeting. David, angry tweeting. Yeah. Preston, angry tweeting. I will tweeting, say that, and then like, they heard
David, I would believe back. He did not get to the part where I said, wait, I've heard this before. He sent a tweet.
I believe David would have acted very quickly and appropriately. Thank you, David, for your swift action here. So this song, lyrically, is all about his lady who cheated on him and lied the whole time. But this is his literal comeback song. He says this is his comeback song. Him just being like, bitch, you thought. Right, so
it's good when you call your shot in a song like that.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, just by the way, if you weren't sure what this song was, aside from being the best track ever, it's also a comeback song. You're sad now. I'm number one. You're number two. Mm-hmm. This is an A and B conversation. See your way out of it.
I mean, I guess technically that was probably a new burn back in the 90s. So yeah. It's probably a good one.
Talk to the hand because the face is recording one of the best songs that will ever exist.
It's funny. I'm sorry. I don't know why I just got this tangent. Go ahead. Like thinking about that, about jokes, like there are so many jokes probably that were like in movies that like you hear them like that is so bad and cringeworthy. But like probably then that was like the first time they used it. And so it was like freaking like amazing at the time.
Talk to the hand. Oh my gosh. Like, well, it was cool the first time. The last cool 71 the time. Times sorry, less gang. So. So a few things I learned about the song from actually researching it for the first time was that it sampled the Tom Toms Club Genius of Love, which is one of like a very popular song. It's incredibly rad. But I'll be honest, though, I went to who sampled and I listened to the sample and I didn't hear it. I did like my husband was like, I hear it immediately. I was like, I do not hear it. This is like one of those seeing eye puzzles. I'm not hearing it somehow. So. I also love the lines because he said, because what they didn't know was wrong and all the nasty things you've done. So baby, listen carefully as I sing my comeback song. I just love that. Mm. I just love that whole be like, can you imagine being like, hey, you hurt me. So I made this super cool song to tell you that I've made it. No, you have to hear it. So here we go.
It's funny to think that like he hadn't made it until you hurt him.
Yeah. It was like,
you were directly like responsible for him becoming rich. Suck it.
Exactly. And what if he was just like. Like they broke up and he was just like, okay. And then 9 months later, he's like, by the way, I have this song that I need you to hear. And like, it took 9 months to make it.
And like, I appreciate you as a person and a friend, but I did make this song about our breakup and it is going to be really big. Sorry.
And I'm going to be, it will exist out of time and space. It will make me millions of dollars.
Or if they got back together.
Can you imagine? Be like, actually, don't. Hey, this song comes like, hey, do, do, do. And you just turn the radio
I'm about to drop
off.
This hot single. I am so sorry, baby.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. You know, about that, about what I was doing for a really rough, like, 2.5 months there while we weren't talking. Don't listen to the radio for the next 3 years.
Yeah, just like turn it off. Like, podcasts aren't around yet, but like, when they are, just like, really tune into that.
Just turn it off. 20, was it? Oh, gosh. What are we at? 06 to. Oh boy, Lisa, I can't do math. We're coming up on 20. This is 25 years. It's 25 years old this year. That hurts. Andy, can we stop talking math on this show?
I don't like it when we talk math. Hey, can I ask, is Mac self-referential in this song?
Hopefully.
Is the Mac Mark Morrison?
I hope so.
Because I typed in, while I had myself on mute while you were talking, I typed in, who is the Mac in Return of the Mac? And it didn't have anything.
Wasn't Mac like also a slang for like your game, like your Mac? Like he's got Mac. Oh. Is that something anybody said? I think I'm making that up right now.
Macking on somebody. That was like making out.
Macking.
With
So return of the making out with someone.
I thought like there's also like a midic like a, there's like a football conf like a basketball and football conference called the MAC.
There it is. Well, it's MACK. Mm-hmm. Return of the MAC.
I know. It's a different spelling for the conference. Different. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. I was just like, hold on. I want to make sure that your Google search was not fruitful for no reason. So I really don't have anything else to say. I just needed to bring that song up once and for all because it's been floating in my head about something I needed to talk about. But Return of the MAC, if you're out, just put on that and then follow up with This Is How We Do It. And then basically anything by Keith Sweat and boom, you're stuck in the 90s.
This is how we do it.
It was a debate. Was I going to cover that one first or Return to the MAC? And well, Return to the MAC won. So.
Guess you know what's coming soon. Speaking of which, just as a quick side note before we go to break, this is crazy. I'm actually, a friend of mine is turning 30 this coming weekend and she is having a 90s themed birthday party. And I'm going to be going. I'm not like wearing any crazy stuff, but I did get like a fanny pack and like this really absurd hat from the 90s and an MTV t-shirt. So,
oh, so good, Andy. Are you, please tell me that you're going as yourself though, like from the show?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just Andy. Like, it's not like a dress up party, it's just like 90s. Like, I'm not going to go as Doug or something like that.
Well, you never will with that attitude. You could have gone as Quail Man.
I know.
It's not too late to be Quail Man.
Here's the thing. It is for me because, like, I don't get the choice of what clothes that I wear.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, you get a costume. I'm like, I will get whatever fits me. Thank you very much.
Goodwill, baby. Goodwill. Yeah. But even then, Goodwill's just like oversized. Was it Big Dogs? Big Dogs brand t-shirt.
Man.
Do you remember
Big
that brand?
Dog. Yes, of course I remember Big Dog brand. I had this shirt for the longest time, but like at least a couple of my friends who listen to the show will remember and love this. Is it was just this Big Dog shirt that just said, "I'm one of those big things that happens to little people," and like big was huge, so it was like, "I'm one of those big things that happens to little people," and it was the shirt that I wore for years, and so everybody would still reference it like even today.
Oh my gosh, why were the sayings on those t-shirts so cringy?
Because like, they were just like, listen, like, you got to buy this because it's big and you need this. So, like, you'll buy whatever it says. Thank you very much.
Ta-da! There it is. And thus, that is also our third thing that we covered just now was the...
Big Dog.
The backstory of Big Dog t-shirt. So
we did no research on it, but it was still...
better than they could have done.
Yeah.
Shit. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with poll results from last week, and then we'll be diving headfirst into our very intense... court case of this week. Sounds good?
Yep.
All right, see you in a few. Hey, 90s Court listeners, Lisa here. I'm here to talk to you really quickly about a product that I absolutely love and I've used every single day for years and years and years. Let me hit you with a couple of scenarios. Perhaps you're miserable because your partner snores like crazy, or maybe you're a night shift worker who can't get proper sleep during the day, or maybe you live in a really loud and busy downtown area. There's hope for you, and it comes in the form of sleep phones from Acoustic Sheep. I'm not lying when I say I've been using them religiously for years, and they're the sole reason I'm not a crazy person suffering from insomnia. Sleep phones are just ultra-soft headphones and a headband that are extremely bed-friendly. Side sleepers can also rejoice, for you can comfortably block out the sounds of the world while getting some soothing, noise-free sleep without hurting your ears. They even have wireless Bluetooth options so you don't get tangled up in cords overnight. I personally connect mine to my phone each night and listen to some white noise to drown out my partner's snores. I'm telling you, I've gifted them to night shift nurses, in-laws, basically anybody with ears that values a good night's sleep. They even have options now that come preloaded with binaural beats or deeply relaxing ASMR content. So you can find something that's just right for you and maybe not even have to connect to your phone at all if you don't want to. Andy and I both use these now, and we'd love to help you get some rest too. Go to sleepphones.com and use the code 90scourt to get $10 off your order of $39 or more. That's sleepphones.com, and the code is 90scourt. Sweet dreams.
Welcome back, everybody, to 90s Court. If you're here, that means you've made it through yet another wonderful ad break.
It's flipping breeze. It's a flipping breeze. There it is. I got it. I remembered what I said.
It's a flipping breeze. Get sleep phones. Anyways, It's great whenever we get back from there and then we're like, let's rehash the ads you just listened to.
That's really, what you want.
Let's really dive deep into there, especially if the ads change in the future and that is not the ads that are on this episode anymore. Mm-hmm. All right. So, but let's get back into the interactive portion of the show. Mm-hmm. The poll results, because last week we had an episode as well, and it was kind of a blockbuster episode, if I do say so myself. Borders on just legendary, if you ask me.
Stop. That was good.
I'm proud of myself for that. Thank you.
Yeah.
God, I'm a dad. Anyways, so Facebook, Blockbuster versus Borders. 65% to 35% in favor of Blockbuster. Not really a huge surprise there. I was kind of anticipating. I will say this. I was happy on all the polls to see a lot of people come out for Borders. Just in general, because I think my least favorite thing is when it's like, what's that? Like, what is that? I've never even heard of that. I'm like, okay, thanks. Sorry for the bad court case.
Yeah.
So I was glad a lot of people did appreciate it. But yeah, I was expecting Blockbuster to win that one. So Twitter, not too different. 68.6% to 31.4%. For the BB and the IGs, 77% to 28%. A little more brutal. But
I'm sorry, 72%. I think I may have typed that wrong.
Oh, well,
my bad. 72 to 28. It
was. It was because 77% to 28% is nothing. That's 105%.
That's
so
too much.
That's what
obviously
we call a
rigged.
Typo.
It's rigged.
We need to really double check the numbers on IG. So
whatever.
So anyway, so needless to say, Blockbuster came out victorious. Again, that was a really fun case to cover and kind of good to go look back at that. Makes me appreciate bookstores. And I think I'm going to go check out, you know, need to go hop in a bookstore sometime soon. They're normally pretty chill.
But, you know, that I would say that was probably the first court case that we've covered that actually left me feeling sad. Like,
yeah,
I actually was really sad for the things that we've lost.
I was double hurt, Mommy. Why did I hurt myself?
I hurt my own feelings.
It's like the meme that I see all the time of the person like just leaning over and sticking a huge stick in their bicycle.
Yes.
While they're riding it.
Yes.
Like what happened?
Why do I feel so bad? Well, you talked about something that you loved as a child that no longer exists and you could never have back. So
okay.
That's why.
All right, I love you.
Sounds great.
All right. Well, anyways, here's the thing that won't break your heart. Ba-da-ba-ba-da. A court case.
Oh boy, and what a court case.
Let's just say this. I don't want to close my eyes. Don't want to fall asleep because I miss you, babe. And I don't want to miss a thing. So I wanted to let you know that, like, when we discussed beforehand, I said, I don't care which one I take, but I want to sing that song.
And I gave you full reign to belt it out as needed, no matter what is happening, no matter what. Even if I keel over dead in the middle of the episode, just start singing it,
just
please.
Just keep
please.
Singing. Keep going.
Just keep
so
singing.
Yeah. So this week we're going to be covering one of many of this phenomena that happened in the 90s, which were like, you know what people like? The same theme of movie twice in a very short period of time.
Yes.
So
yes,
this is one of the bigger ones, though, of the blockbusters, particularly during the summer. Armageddon versus Deep Impact.
Mm-hmm.
I will note only because I was just mentioning it to Lisa before, and I just realized that 1998, which is the year these came out, also the year that previous episode, Ants versus A Bug's Life, where they came out both the same year too. Just super weird that apparently like 98 is the year we're gonna intentionally hurt ourselves by releasing it the same time as another one. So
they couldn't help themselves. No. It was just the saddest, worst time period that everything was like that. Everything was like that. It's not like that anymore.
We're almost out of movie ideas. And we're like, okay, well now 2021, you're like, yeah, they were out at that point.
For sure. They were totally out. Well, I'm going first. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. With Armageddon?
Yep.
Or as my husband said, he used to work at this camp that had international students. And one kid came, he goes, I want to see Armageddon.
Oh my gosh.
And so to me, I can only hear it as Armageddon now as opposed to Armageddon. So from here on out, I'm
such
calling my
good,
movie Armageddon.
Such a good name.
It is so much better than Armageddon. So good God, my movie is 2.5 hours long, Andy. When I was like, I'm excited to cover Armageddon. And then I rented it. And I was like, oh no.
I can personally attest. I received a text message during the week that said, "Oh my God, this is 2.5 hours long."
It was the worst decision. I was like, "This, like, I didn't sign up for Schindler's List, Andy. I wanted to just do a little easy, quick one. Come on!" But here we are, Armageddon. It's a sci-fi disaster film released on July 1st, 1998. Very good strategic time frame. Obviously, 4th of July weekend, everyone's partying, drinking the Budweisers. And going to the theaters. So
nothing feels more American than watching your world be destroyed.
Yeah. Happy birthday, world. That's when we celebrate our birthday, right? July 4th.
That's the world's birthday. It's July 1st.
Happy birthday, world. July. Anyway, it was directed by Michael Bay. Of course, produced by Michael Bay and Jerry Bruckheimer. I believe I read that they had like up to 9 different writers or something on this. So it was a very confusing script in some ways.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, budget was $140 million and it racked in a whopping $553 million at the box office. Heydays of going to the movies for sure. The whole premise of the movie is that a giant asteroid the size of Texas has gone undetected by NASA somehow and is now hurtling toward Earth, and we have 18 days before we're all dead. Cool stuff. So let's talk cast real quick because it is full of some pretty big bangers. Bruce Willis is our main character. He is Harry Stamper, who's like the main oil dad astronaut man. Billy Bob Thornton is Dan Truman. He's an executive at NASA. Ben Affleck is A.J. Frost, a young oil rig worker underneath Harry. Yeah. Liv Tyler is Grace Stamper, Harry's daughter. Steve Buscemi is here. He plays a dude named Rockhound. And we have Owen Wilson, who for some reason is here. And he plays... Oh, Siri thinks I'm trying to talk to her. That's very special. Owen Wilson is here. He plays someone named Oscar Choice. Peter Stormare is Lev and Andropov. And then there's so many more other people, but enough of that shit, okay? So we start off with NASA and a major meteor shower, and it's destroying a shuttle in space. Oops, it kills an astronaut, and then suddenly there's a major meteor attack raining down on New York City, okay? And I will say this. This is a crazy brutal sequence because New York City under attack and exploding / on fire, and like one of the Twin Towers is on fire. I was just like,
No.
And it's like, you don't know what's coming.
Yeah. Yep.
Oof. But I mean,
it's funny that you mentioned that because we got a similar, no spoilers, but we had a similar view in mine as well.
Oof. I am excited to hear about that. So NASA discovers that out of their coverage of the sky, a giant meteor the size of Texas is heading towards Earth, and they're calling it a global killer. So we cut to Harry, which is, again, Bruce Willis's character, and his daughter, Grace, Liv Tyler, on this oil rig, and she's sleeping with AJ, Ben Affleck's character, who is the young, handsome crew member. Ta-da! There's this whole sequence where Harry finds out that Grace is sleeping with AJ, and he's like, just like pulls out a shotgun and just starts chasing him around the oil rig and like shooting at him. I was like, that's fine. That's normal. That's
seems
totally
like
what
normal
happens.
Texas stuff. Yeah.
It is very normal Texas stuff. Like,
I was
joking. If you forget barbecue sauce on someone's like Chick-fil-A order, you're getting shot bar none. Like it's just going to happen. So that's what's happening at the oil rig. At the same time, NASA's master plan to save the human race is to send astronauts up into space to drill a hole into the asteroid, drop in a nuclear bomb, and then detonate it so that it'll destroy this massive rock and save Earth. Ta-da! It's going to be that easy. It's not. NASA comes for Harry and his team. Because even though NASA scientists and astronauts are among the most brilliant people in the world, they somehow cannot figure out how to make this drill work. Like, they're having trouble with it.
I can't make this drill work. If only we had a Texan here.
If only everybody had a Texan here, how much better would your life be? Think about it. It wouldn't be that much better. It's actually pretty awful. So instead of really working to figure this out and have astronauts who are already trained to go into space do this, NASA's like, okay, here we go. Oil rig workers, we're going to train them to go into space in the matter of like 2 weeks. And then they're going to go up to space. They're going to do this drilling. It's like, okay, that's a normal response to a crisis. Sure. Okay. That's fine. Yes, that sounds good. So with all these completely absurd requirements that the team has had met, the oil rig team agrees to go into space to do this. And this includes AJ, who is, you know, dating Grace and everything like this. Before this, like, I'm breezing through this because this is an extremely long movie and there are so many explosions and not a lot of really important plot lines. Yeah. So,
I remember the tax thing is being a big deal. Remember thinking, like, taxes, that's not that big of a deal. Just give it to him.
just do it. There is a scene here that I failed to write down, but I did watch in the movie that I needed to call out, which was a scene where, like, Liv Tyler is laying on her back in a field, and Ben Affleck's talking to her, and she's got her, like, blouse unbuttoned, and he's running an animal cracker on her stomach. And I'm
yes!
like, oh my God, hate this.
I saw that exact image in my brain now. That's amazing.
I was just like, I hate this more than words can say.
Beep, 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 beep.
More
that's
than
the sound
words.
Of the animal cracker moving.
Beep, 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 beep. He's doing like elephant sounds. It's awful. It's terribly awkward. So anyway, they get engaged before he goes to space. Ta-da! That's the thing. So where are we in my notes? So the whole world is beginning to panic because while they're preparing everyone to go into space and stuff like this, somehow this news of like New York City getting destroyed by the meteors didn't get that popular somehow. So Shanghai gets hit by some meteors and everyone's like, oh shit, Earth is falling apart. And so they are like, well, we got to really get this thing going. We got to get it fast. So like NASA's got the heat on them. And so to condense this 2.5 hour film as much as possible, because Michael Bay, the crews take off on two space shuttles called Freedom and Independence. Of course. So they're going to dock on the Russian space station to refuel for the big journey. All right. So because it's a Michael Bay flick, guess what? Something goes wrong.
Oh no.
All right. Of course. So they land, they like connect to the space station and like shit starts going wrong. This scene was too much. It was too much because I feel like shit in space just explodes. Like if something goes wrong, it's like, you're all dead. Like in a heartbeat. You're all dead.
Yeah.
There was no like trickle down effect of little explosions. Like, no, you're just all dead immediately. That's just how it works in space.
Everything's filled with natural oxygen, like in natural oxygen. All right. Everything's on fire. Bye.
Oh, also there was some kind of thing with the space station that they were like, oh, if you, we've got some kind of setting, we do something special where you can, there's just gravity on here. So everyone was just walking around, just walking on the space, the Russian space station.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's a thing that you can actually do.
Yeah, I was about to say I thought it was, but I also don't know if I'm correct with that.
I will just say this. From a gut feeling perspective, that didn't feel right. It didn't feel right to see people like half jogging in space. It's like, this doesn't... Okay, well, okay. So whatever the case is... there are lots of explosions to the point where like there's so much screaming and so many people and things exploding that like I don't know who died, but I just know it wasn't good. Like some people died, is a whole thing. So the plan now is for the shuttles that they ever fueled somehow from this thing to like slingshot around the moon and land on the asteroid and break it up into two pieces, because of course nothing is easy, but like of course nothing is easy in space. And so the Independence shuttle is hit by asteroid debris, crashes, and most everybody dies. Okay.
Good.
Very cool.
That's
why we have two. Yeah. yeah, exactly. But Freedom shuttle lands, but of course it's trying to land on the asteroid, and because it's in space, nothing is easy, so it lands a full 26 miles off of its target. Okay. Whoops. Yep. Oopsie. Oopsie doodles. So that now means that they have to drill through a thicker portion of the asteroid than they anticipated, right? And so as this whole plan is falling apart and everything is off schedule, the secondary plan from the military is to just detonate the bomb on the surface of the asteroid as opposed to inside of it. But since NASA's like, that's just not gonna work, they're like, hold up, and they convince the military to chill out for a second while Harry, Bruce Willis's character, convinces the shuttle commander to dismantle the bomb, which is tense as fuck, so that they can complete the drilling and then go along with like a version of the original plan as intended. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a whole lot of like, we're just gonna Texan it for a while up here because we're oil rig workers and like we're not doing what they say, we're doing it this way. So while this is happening, more explosions happen because of course, and what they called I failed to mention earlier, the drills they have are called armadillos, which is kind of cute. I like that. The Freedom armadillo strikes a pocket of methane gas and gets blown up, flies into space, kills some people. And on everyone on Earth sees this like happening on the news. They're like, it's over. It's fucking over. This is ruined. So everything like falls apart, martial law is enacted, and everyone's like, let's go, let's fucking party. But then a meteor strikes Paris, which is red because baguettes.
Excuse me?
Paris, I don't know, Paris just got attacked by asteroids.
Why is that? Okay, go ahead.
It's just, well, A, it was Michael Bay, so I will say this. The CGI in my film held up pretty well.
I was going to say, Michael Bay is just like, I want an excuse to blow up different towns.
Yeah, he blew up a very, like, yeah, Paris got blown up, but there was, like, I mean, he needed to blow up the Eiffel Tower. It's just too beautiful. Sure,
necessary.
One cannot, yeah, people are, like, women are married to it. It's a whole thing. But he just must have had it out for Paris and Shanghai and NYC. Maybe he's more like a country guy. What do you think?
That's what it sounds like from this whole, like, Texas drillers will solve everything.
Yeah, he's like, you just know what's best. Just spit on it. Yeah, Sugarland, Texas. Let's go there. So now, of course, the surviving crew members are all under an asteroid attack, and it damages the bomb's remote trigger, which mm-hmm. meant that someone has to stay to set off the bomb manually. And guess who drew the short straw in all of the ways for that job?
Brucey McBruce Pants.
Actually, AJ.
Not Brucey McBruce Pants.
Not Brucey McBruce Pants, no. So, so he's going down there, but, like, it's a whole thing because, of course, he's engaged to Grace, right? His, you know, mm-hmm. Harry's daughter, and that's a whole thing. So, he and Harry, I think, is escorting him down to the asteroid, and, you know, Ben Affleck's character's all upset. And then at the last minute, Harry, like, rips off his air tube or something, like right. AJ's air tube.
So he has to go back to the ship, right?
Yes, and he, like, shoves him into the tube, and he's screaming, like, no, I actually want to do this, but Harry's
take
like,
take care
no.
of my daughter for me.
Yeah, he's like, no, go marry and bang my daughter. You're the son I never
Make
had. I've always
babies.
Loved you as a son. It's like, this is getting really weird and confusing, I know, but, like, go. So screaming Ben Affleck ascends back into the shuttle. And this is the ultimate sad scene of the movie that everybody loves, where Harry gets into contact with Grace back on Earth to tell her goodbye and let her know that he broke his promise of coming home. Like, first of all, when they were like, I promise I'm coming back, it's like, you cannot promise that. Do not promise
like,
that.
So many people have gone, like, already. I'd be like, I can't believe you guys are even having a debate about which one of you is going to die, because all y'all are going to die for
there's
sure.
There's like a 95% chance you're all dead. You're all space debris forever. But that's cool. Go ahead and make promises. Women love empty promises. Mm-hmm. So I loved this too. In his goodbye, he says, I'll look in on you from time to time. And which too, I know that's a sweet sentiment, but it sounded to me
like ghost stuff.
Yeah. He's like, I know most of your shit's going to be boring as hell. So I'm going to go do some more interesting other stuff as like ghost or not.
The Sixth Sense is coming out next year.
Yeah. Yeah, was it 99? Because I really
it was
99. Shit, I was like, as I was finishing up for the show, I was like, we should have done Bruce Willis versus Bruce Willis, but we didn't. The Sixth Sense will have to go up against something else good. But so Harry stays back while the shuttle backs off the asteroid to a safe distance, and then Harry detonates the bomb, and all these beautiful flashes of Grace growing up flash before his eyes. Okay, Earth is saved. Everything's good. Good job, Bruce Willis. You did it. You're dead. So Earth is saved. And, of course, AJ and Grace get married. And then, you know, once he returns to Earth, and then Dad is dead, the end. That's Armageddon. Armageddon.
Yeah. Armageddon.
Go ahead.
You have other stuff. I was going to say, actually, you know what? I'll say this real quick, because I've said this about many different things. There's always so many movies that, like, I just want there to be, like, you know, they make so many different tapes and DVDs of films and stuff like that, for, like, there to be, like, two tapes or DVDs in existence that have an alternate ending to the movie that nobody knows that it's in there. So, like, mm-hmm. suddenly somebody's just watching this movie, and at the end it blows up, but then the meteor just still hits Earth and everybody dies and that's the end.
I would love it. That's totally...
Like, so one guy, like, calls the paper. He's like, I don't know what to tell you, but the movie's fucking different. Like, it's just like, it came out, like, 25 years ago, and it changed.
Like, why not? I love that. I would love that. I would
sorry.
Love it.
Go ahead. That's just the thing I think about many different movies, and it just always... Sorry. Go ahead.
It makes me happy. No, it would make me very happy if that's how this went. Instead. Now, I will say this. The movie is not very well received. It is very, and reasonably so, because it's actually kind of trash. There's tons of explosions. It's 2.5 hours of just explosions and shouting. The last third of the movie.
This movie was by Michael Bay, and it was just a bunch of explosions.
Can you imagine? Michael Bay himself, I saw it on the trivia. He himself says it's his worst film. He says, I will apologize for Armageddon because we had to do the whole movie in 16 weeks.
I don't know, man. He made a lot of Transformers movies.
That's funny. He said, it was a massive undertaking. This was not fair to the movie. I would redo the entire third act if I could. Was like, okay. Yeah, I bet you fucking would. Yeah, 16 weeks to make this movie. I can't, like, some of my plants don't even grow a second leaf in 16 weeks. Like, how, I don't know how he made this movie, but whatever the case is. NASA shows this for trivia. NASA shows this film during their management training program. New managers are given the task of trying to spot as many errors as possible. at least 168 have been found. Is that not the best shit ever?
Yeah.
Let's see. There's lots of trivia. There aren't too many that I thought were super interesting, but the whole, like, this Michael Bay hating it. A lot of the actors that signed on for this were, like, I think Steve Buscemi and Billy Bob Thornton were like, I just wanted a bigger house.
Sure.
Like, they just signed up for that, like, that promise alone. I was like, yeah, I don't blame you. A lot of people didn't love it, but they're like, it's money. So
Buscemi add-ins are the best because it's just, like, so unnecessary.
Absolutely.
But he's in
Absolutely.
There, but I love it.
And so this movie did get some Academy Awards. It got nominations for Best Sound, Best Visual Effects, mm-hmm. Best Sound Effects, Best Original Song for I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, of course. It also was nominated for 7 Razzies.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the acting, directing, all that
stuff. Yeah, worst actor, worst picture, worst director, worst screenplay, worst supporting actress, Liv Tyler, worst screen couple, Tyler and Ben Affleck, worst original song. And the only Razzie they won was for Bruce Willis's performance as worst actor.
Jeez.
That's pretty brutal. Poor Brucey. This movie was huge. I mean, going back, you're like, I was excited for it. And then once it started, I was like, this is like when you're excited for, like, an old piece of cheese in the back of the fridge. You're like, I bet this is still good. And you start eating, you're like, this is not so good. But out of principle, you won't get up and put it away. You're just going to keep eating the cheese. It's bad. And then you feel bad. And then you just feel sick for a few days. That's what Armageddon is in 2021.
I'll just eat around the mold. It's fine.
Yeah, I try to tell my kids that. And they're like, ew. And I'm like, well, you're probably right. But but this one, you kind of just go for the mold. You go for the mold.
Just take a big bite. It's Armageddon. Armageddon.
So that's Armageddon. I'm sure I could have talked a lot more about I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, but if I could never talk about that song ever again, I'd be happy.
Yeah, it's
but
fine.
I covered it today. So, but if you need to sing it one more time before you start Deep Impact, thank you. That works.
I do want to miss a thing.
I do want to miss this one thing.
All right, so Deep Impact. I will say this, yeah, because, like, Armageddon is the one that I definitely have seen more times and there's more references to in pop culture and everything like that, just because it's like, so many people saw it, obviously. Now, this movie, I was surprised. A lot of people saw this movie, too. It was a box office budget $80 million and box office $349.5 million. So still a big one, but obviously about $200 million less than yours. So
quite a bit, yeah.
Came out in 1998, just like a month and a half before yours did. So people were like, I mean, we kind of like disaster movies.
Yours came out before mine?
Yeah. It was in May of 1998.
Okay.
So it came out a little bit beforehand, kind of like how Ants are in Bug's Life, like, we need to get ours out first. It didn't matter. One of them was just better than the other one. So it's a 1998 film directed by Mimi Leiter, who I don't know who she is, but Steven Spielberg was the executive producer. He originally was given the offer to direct, but he's like, no, I'll just produce and hire somebody else to direct. So notable cast in this film, little baby Elijah Wood.
He's in it.
He's the idiest bittiest Elijah Wood, Morgan Freeman, Robert Duvall, Tia Leone. I recognize the actress. I just don't know the name very well. But Tia Leone and James Cromwell, also someone I recognize. There's a lot of people in here I recognize. Like, if you saw their face, you'd be like, oh, they're in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, they're always, like, just side characters that are never the main characters. So, so they hired a lot of good people. I mean, not quite as much as Armageddon, but still a pretty big cast. I mean, this was, I think, the first time they had Morgan Freeman as the president, which would then be replicated several times later.
So rad.
So, let's see. Okay, I forgot. I was like, I made a note to myself. I was like, this is phrased very weirdly. So, please note for the following notes that I'm going to say, I'm going to say the words comet, meteor, and asteroid at various times, because when I looked it up online, they called it different things like every time, and in the movie, it was different things frequently.
Interesting.
So, like, because okay. I even thought, I was like, oh, it was a comet, and then I was like, but it didn't look like a comet. That's weird. They must have done a bad job. But then later on, I heard meteor and then asteroid. And I was like, okay, well, apparently they don't know what the fuck it was. So a large rock was flying
big
at Earth.
Shit. Yeah.
So basically, I wanted to know, wanted you guys to know that when I started watching this, so we decided on the thing and I immediately found out, okay, this is available on like AMC or whatever, because we have YouTube TV. So I can just like look up stuff on demand a lot of the time. So I went on there, started watching it, and was just planning on casually watching it and then maybe later on pulling out my laptop to start taking notes. But just stuff happened so fast. I was like, oh, shit. Like, I got to get my I gotta get my notepad pulled up immediately. So here's the most insane, like, beginning. So it's baby Elijah Wood and this other guy are looking up in the sky, like, at the stars. In this very short scene, he's like, hey, what's that? Clearly they're, you know, him and his girlfriend or whatever, looking through this telescope, and this scientist guy's like, huh, that's weird. Yeah. And that's the end of the scene. And then the astronomer guy goes back to his like fancy lab or whatever. And is like looking up some stuff on this thing and was like zooming in and running a bunch of mathematics. And you see him like eating a slice of pizza, like really casually, as he's running these calculations, like super like, click, click, clack on his calculator. And all of a sudden he's like, oh no. Oh no, this can't be. And he's like, shit, I'm here by myself. So I got to go tell somebody about this. So he immediately like sets down his pizza, because that's important, and runs off to get his car. He saves all this shit to a floppy disk, like all his calculations and stuff.
Yes.
I was watching it and I was like, I don't know what you just did on that computer. Like, it doesn't feel like you did anything, because you're definitely connected to the internet. So saves it to a fucking floppy and gets in his car to let everybody know about this. And so he's like on like a mountain pass or something like that for some reason. And they show this back and forth of him driving like super panically, like sweaty and everything like that. And then at the same time, they keep showing a cut to this guy that's eating food, driving a semi, and it's like a cartoon, because then all of a sudden the guy, like, the semi drops something and he goes across the center line and just drills the car for the scientist who had the floppy. It goes off a cliff and maybe falls like 10 feet and explodes immediately.
must have been a Chevy. I was gonna say, seems like something what a Chevy would do.
Yeah,
take that, Chevy.
Suck it, Chevy. So evidently that was the end of that, because then it's just like 1 year later. I'm like, oh, okay, well that's the end of that guy, I guess. So, so they switch course so suddenly, and it's like, it's confusing, because they're like, hey, here's a journalist and she's really trying to make a name for herself. So she's like, I think I got a lead on this scandal or something like that. This guy like who quit his job, his wife's actually like got drinking problem or something like that. So it's like this really like shitty story. She was like looking up on this politician and she ends up like jumping him whenever he's like getting ready to get on a boat with his family. And
jumping him, like fighting him?
Like just like surprising him or whatever. And
being
like,
okay. I was like,
and he's, it's like this guy who is some sort of politician, and he's like, listen, I'm not going to tell you anything. He's like, well, we can either write this about your daughter, or we can write this about your wife, or we can write this about your daughter. He's like, fine. And he tells them the truth about the whole thing that happened. And he's like, go ahead, write it. I don't care. He's like, my life's ruined anyways. Like, because he just, like, his whole, like, marriage, like, everything was going to shit. And she didn't really understand why. But so she's like, okay, well, we've got this story. So she's, like, driving home. And all of a sudden, like, she's on the interstate and starts getting hit by, like, a car. And, like, a bunch of cars surround her and, like, drive her off the interstate. And it's, like, apparently the FBI.
What?
Are like, we've got to take you somewhere. And so they take her like to like this secret kitchen, apparently like at the White House or something, or some secret location. And it's the president who wants to talk with her. He's like, I got a favor to ask you. I can't do a great Morgan Freeman, but I'm doing my best.
That was pretty good.
I'll let you have that story, and I appreciate it. But hold off just a couple days. And so she like finally agrees that she'll hold off on printing the story for a couple days, and he'll like give her like the first question at this press conference that he's going to be having in 2 days. So at this point, we have no idea of anything that's going on except that this woman is trying to write this scandalous post about this guy in politics or something like that.
Yeah.
And then she goes to the press conference 2 days later, and he's like, and he gives the whole thing like, "Hey, by the way, like a year ago, we found out there's like a comet coming."
What? What?
Yeah,
What?
he's like, and we've been preparing and getting things ready. We're gonna have somebody, we're gonna have like a team that's gonna go up and try and like blow it up. So basically, like, we're gonna go and Armageddon this.
Our Megadon.
We're gonna do Armageddon this. But he's like, "But chill, it's fine. Like, we have full faith in these guys. It should be easy peasy. Let's get this shit done." And reassures the country. And so she does get the first questions after that. And she ends up, because of like having these sweet questions on the air, all of a sudden they're like, "We're promoting you, and you're like the head anchor," which is an insane leap in logic. But so she takes over
Yeah.
as the head anchor of MSNBC, and so it's like cutting to her over and over again throughout the show. So from there, let me give you like this is. So imagine your movie. You remember how long like they spent on like, okay, the ship's launching, like there's this whole big plan and all that stuff. So like the plan seemed like the big focal point of the movie and the enacting of the plan. So basically they're like, "All right, here's a speech telling us that there's a plan. Here's the plan. Okay, they're launching these fuckers into space. It's happening immediately. Like this is happening instantly.
This is
These
like
guys are
7 minutes into
yeah,
the
seven like they've done all that other stuff." And then they just are like, "Oh, we gotta send them out. We're gonna do that." And then they're on the spaceship. It is hauntingly bad, like special effects and everything like that of them going to this thing. And they're like, "We're here." And then they're on it. Very similar, you know, to Armageddon in that way. But things didn't go right. Things very much didn't go right. And then they lost contact with the ship. And so they're like,
Oops.
"Well, I guess it's time to plan for the inevitable, the end of the world." So unlike your movie, which was like, "Hey, let's like focus on like this plan and like, wow, it's really complicated and all this bad stuff's gonna happen, and like there's a lot of action and explosions and enthusiasm." This one's like, "Okay, let's just really dive into the tackling of our own mortality." So evidently they decided that like, "Hey, the world's gonna end because we lost contact with these people." At least that's what you assume. Like you, the audience, know that they didn't die. Like a lot of them did, but most of the people are still okay on the ship. But they're kind of like not in a great situation. But everybody else on the Earth is just like, "Well, guess it's time to just walk off a cliff." And so that was honestly like more of the movie. Like a larger percentage of the movie was after that incident. Right, and it was people on Earth and how they're reacting to it and dealing with it. And so it was a very different movie because I didn't realize it was going to be so different. I thought it was going to be so much focused on the actual meteor or asteroid or whatever the hell it was. Obviously, they didn't even know what it was, so they clearly weren't too worried about it. So immediately the president's just like, "Well, here's the deal. There's a lottery coming for people who get to survive, and no one 60 or older can be entered. Sorry about you."
What?
So
Wait, what? What?
President announces there's a lottery. He's like, "Well, we're all fucked. So here's what's gonna happen. We're gonna draw a bunch of like birth dates, and whoever gets pulled gets to live in a bunker." It's
Whoa.
like I said, it is so dark. Like just all of a sudden, they're like, "We're gonna do it. Oh no. Well,
They'd be like, "We're signing you all up for face the jury accounts, and if you don't get higher than a three, then you are automatic. We're just gonna kill you before the meteoroid gets here."
Yeah, we're not even gonna wait till it gets here. We're gonna execute you. Sorry.
Meteoroid?
You did say
Meteor?
meteoroid. I was gonna let it go, but
But I needed to address that myself.
okay,
Asterisk said, yeah.
I
Anyway,
appreciate that.
thank you. Yeah.
So like I said, it's so wild to me to think, because I mean, here's the thing, they didn't know what Armageddon was gonna be about. For some reason, I just assumed that, hey, if it's a disaster movie, that's what it's gonna be like, and they're like, "We're just not doing that, sorry."
Yeah.
So it was
We're
less about,
artistic.
yeah, we're gonna do something really artsy about just how people react to their own certain demise.
Yes.
And it was a lot about, like, you know, the clusterfuck of humanity after that. Like, everybody's crazy, similar to yours. They announced martial law and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And of course, the weird and uncomfortable examples of how wonderful humanity and capitalism is, basically with, like, hey, the rich people get, like, you know, people with of privilege and everything like that get these amazing perks and stuff like that. And the people who don't, they're just all going to die. So.
Very cool.
So basically the story from, let's see. So they focus, I think, way too long on the stories of different lottery pulls and like each family and stuff like that. Like, so Elijah Wood and his girlfriend and their family was kind of a big focal point. They kind of focused on the fact that before they found out the world was going to end, apparently Elijah Wood became really famous because they found out technically he was the one who actually saw the meteor first or spotted it. And so it was, like, partially named after him, which is, honestly, in retrospect, a horrible thing to be like, our doom is named after me.
Like, no thanks. Also, it would be really funny, though, if, like, this thing was named after him and then he didn't win the lottery and they're like, oh, this super famous guy, we're just going to let him go.
That's actually why I brought it up, was that he immediately instantly got a spot because of that. And so he got to bring his entire family, like I said, privilege. Of just like, hey, you saw this thing, so we're going to let you go in there immediately. And so he's like, well, apparently you can bring your spouses and their family. So he immediately, he's probably like, what, like 15 or 16. He marries his girlfriend. Like,
oh,
immediately.
My gosh.
So they get married and then like, he's like, okay, we're at the bus. We're ready to go. And these military soldiers are there and they're looking over the list. And they're like, well, her parents aren't on the list. Sorry. And so she won't go. And so he's like, well, shit. So he goes with his family. Yeah, he got married for nothing. So he ends up going on a rescue mish during all this. I'm going to go over a few different storylines that are happening because they're all kind of happening concurrently, going back and forth between the two. This is all after we find out the world's going to end. It's like, hey, let's see what happens while people think the world's going to end.
Yes. Yeah.
So he goes on this rescue mission on a fucking moped. Because after he's like getting ready to leave, he's like, no, I can't leave her. And so he takes his moped. That's the only way you can drive legally, I guess. And it's just weaving through all this stop traffic on the interstate, trying to find her and just screaming her name, which is the most insane thing that he does, in fact, find her.
Wow.
But yeah, like I was thinking while I was watching, I'm like, why don't they all just go to the mountains or something like that? They know apparently there was supposed to be a big tsunami coming. And so I'm like, go west or something like that. And I realized, oh, that's what they were doing. They just couldn't go because they're all on the East Coast and they couldn't get there because all the traffic was clogged up and traffic was just stopped on the interstate. So because there's apparently, but then I realized there's also two pieces of the meteor. So there's the smaller piece that's going to hit first. That's the one that's supposed to cause this huge tsunami with, you know, several hundred feet waves or whatever that are just going to destroy like the entire Eastern Western seaboards, basically everything, but like Illinois and Texas. Actually, no, Texas
Yay!
Is gone too.
Damn it. Well, that's okay.
Most of Texas. Yeah. And then the second one is just going to hit Earth and it's just going to just fucking destroy everything. So, like, it really didn't matter surviving the first one, at least everyone thought. So, same time as this, that reporter lady, the one who was, like, she seems like a decent enough person on there or whatever. The person who ends up being the, like, getting the anchor position at MSNBC because she, like, made that deal with the president or whatever about not releasing the story. But it's, like, her whole story, like, going back and forth. Like, she gets an opportunity to go. Like, they're like, hey, we're evacuating and we're getting people into helicopters and they're going to live and the people, we have to leave some of them behind. And so she draws, like, a long straw or whatever. So she gets a spot. But this woman who's there and her child like don't, and so she's getting ready to get on the helicopter and ends up giving her spot to them. And apparently there'd been this back and forth with her dad and like her being upset at her dad because he got remarried. Like she's like 35 or something like that. She's like really, really emotional about the fact that her dad got married again.
Now's not the time, guys. Not the time.
So then she goes and finds her dad standing on a beach like by the Atlantic Ocean or whatever, and she's like, Dad, I love you. Like, I don't remember what happened. Basically, they reconcile their differences, and as they're reconciling their differences, a tsunami comes and kills them.
Oh, oh. Oh, no.
I just had to mention, I kind of skipped ahead a little bit there, but, like, it was hilarious to me because, like, they couldn't have known what was going to happen. The fact that the The fact that they were going to end up, so here's what happened. So they end up destroying the second one because, like I said, the people in the spaceship were still up there. So they, in a last-ditch effort, like, see the asteroid coming, and they fly directly at it, like, as fast as they can, and then just drive into, like, this crevice in the larger piece that's going to destroy the entire world, and it ends up blowing it up, and people from Earth can see it just, like, exploding like the Death Star up in the sky.
Yes, that was similar in my movie. Yes.
Yeah. But, unlike your movie, this was after, like, hundreds of millions of people died.
Oof.
From this tsunami that literally just killed, like, everyone on all of the shorelines of the world.
Oh, my gosh. Bye, Pacific Northwest.
And so that was the part, like I said, it was, like, so not action-y. And then they have this haunting, like, in my opinion, if you watch it, like, it just the... I guess I don't have... it's hard to compare it because I don't have any other tsunami examples back in the day. Mm-hmm. But the CGI, I was like, oh my god, that is some CGI. Like, it was not, like, realistic at all of this massive tsunami wave just, like, decimating everything, including New York, including the Twin Towers. That's the reason I mentioned that, too, is they're kind of like, oop. So, and it's just killing just so many people. Especially, you see so many characters that you've gotten to know during the movie. They're like, well, they're dead. And so it's just like, and it's all because, like, they didn't know that there was another, that the second one was going to get blown up, or they probably would have gotten the fuck out of Dodge and tried to get away from the seaboard. So cut to Elijah Wood on a moped.
Yay.
Who is driving the interstate, who is watching the tsunami wave coming. And he's like, I'm just going to keep driving uphill on this moped and hopefully I'll get away from the tsunami. And the amazing thing is he does.
Oh.
It just happens to be this hill that he was on was like, oh, it's actually like the top of a short mountain. And so he got just high enough to get out of the way of that. And they're like, him and his girlfriend on the moped, they were rescued. And they're like, now we can continue our life of being horrible actors. and then, so let's see. So then after that, basically they cut to Washington, D.C. Everything is totally fucked. Again, it was some bad CGI, like, trying to show Washington, D.C., like, all messed up, like, with, like, holes in it and stuff. And it was Morgan Freeman being like, we can now begin to rebuild. The end.
Oh. Oh. Like, the end of the movie?
Yeah.
Oh. It's so... movie.
Yeah, it's weird. Huh?
It's just, this is a lot to take in. I mean, not a lot, but a lot to take in.
I want to watch yours more. I know. I feel weird because, like, it was just a weird movie. Like, there's obviously a lot more to it than that, but, like, that was kind of, like, the gist. So, I don't want to go over too much because we are going pretty long, but a quick line from the president's scene. They actually cut a line from his scene when they were announcing, like, hey, everything's going to be fine. We're going to send the ship up and everything's going to be cool. He said, life will go on. Life will prevail. Which was a line he said in the movie, but then he was supposed to say, this is not Armageddon at the end of it, like in a really confident and like amazing way. But they were like, oh shit, there's a movie also called Armageddon that's coming out. So we're just going to nix that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So they originally had a lot more scenes of Elijah Wood and Lily Sobieski, who is his girlfriend in the movie. Mm-hmm. Apparently they tested so poorly with audiences. They were just like, let's just like get rid of a lot of that, which makes, well, this is an Andy thought, not trivia, but it makes sense because near the end, I was like, it was like when they're saving each other and like getting up that moped up to the hill, I'm like, it feels like they wanted us to care about these two characters a lot more than I do, huh? Like, and yeah. I'm like, that makes more sense because they originally had a lot more scenes with them together, but yeah.
Wow.
And apparently just before the movie's release, astronomers had announced that asteroid 1997 XF11, about 1 mile across, would impact the Earth at a speed of over 100,000 miles per hour at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, October 26, 2028.
No, that hasn't happened yet.
No, it hasn't. So it greatly boosted ticket sales. And literally the day after the movie's release, or like a couple days afterwards, they got new projections like, oh, it's actually going to miss us by like 600,000 miles.
Oh,
because I was like, wait a second. I started Googling it before I read the end of the trivia. So,
like, I'm not ready. I mean, like, I moved away from Seattle for that kind of natural disaster, but this one you can't move away from. This one's just with you.
Yep. Sorry about you. So, a couple other trivia things. So, less trivia and more of an observation. During the first scene in the Messiah spaceship or whatever, when they're going, like, the first scene, like, when they get up in space and you see, like, they're in there sitting in the ship, and all these people are sitting, all the actors that are in the Messiah are just sitting there, like, wearing, like, t-shirts and, like, polos and like not matching or anything like that. They're just hanging out in street clothes, like in the first one, like in a spaceship in space. I'm like, I mean, I guess technically you could do that, but it's the most insane first, like not showing them in spacesuits or matching outfits or anything like that. They're like, just wear whatever the fuck you want on the spaceship. It's fine.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's totally cool.
So MSNBC was actually new at this time. It had launched July 15th of 1996, which I didn't realize. So it was actually a huge deal that this was the first time that MSNBC was featured as like the main news station or prominent news station in a movie. So they, I'm guessing, probably paid them to do that. So,
yeah, that's pretty slick.
So, yeah. So anyways, that's a Deep Impact.
So good. I actually want to go back and watch yours over mine.
I don't. I can assure you, you don't. But if, yeah, well, I guess yeah, over yours, might be maybe right. Yes. But
yeah, Armageddon.
Over literally anything else you could watch, probably not.
Good, good idea. Good idea. I have one question for you.
Yes.
Let's say an asteroid is heading towards Earth. Uh-huh. You have 1 hour left to live. For some reason, all the fast food restaurants and regular restaurants are still open because those people are like, well, there's nothing to live for anyway, so let's just go to work. You could go anywhere you want. What's your last meal?
But I only have an hour. I can't go anywhere.
You can't? Not at Monticello?
Well, I mean, there's other places. So I'll probably run to Champagne, order. Like, it'll probably, the problem will be that I'll order it and it'll probably be done like just before the world ends. Because it takes like 45 minutes for Papa Dells to make one of their pizzas.
Papa
like
Dells.
Their big deep dish Chicago style pizzas. So, yeah, shit. I'll probably order one of those and be over there and like be like, finally, it's ready, and have 5 minutes to eat it before the world ends.
You would eat as much of that as you could in five yes. minutes. I would. Shit, I would try to drive. If I had one day, I'd be like, I'm driving to Illinois. I'm getting yeah. Papa Dells.
I'd be constipated before we even before the world even ends.
You're on the shitter when the asteroid hits. So, oh my gosh.
Please, why don't you take us out?
All right, let's do it. All right, thank you guys for listening.
With a sniper.
With a sniper. Listen, where to find us? We are at 90s Court on Facebook and Twitter, at 90s.court on Instagram. We are on patreon.com/90s court if you'd like to support the show. We have, I think, about monthly episodes that we release there as well, some extra stuff here and there. We also have merch available at teepublic.com/user/the90s court. That's where you can find us. And as always, if you would be so kind as to leave us a wonderful, glowing 5-star review, that would make us so happy.
Or just like an okay 5-star review. Like the stars yeah. is important.
The stars are important. You could just say, in the review. But five matters.
5 stars.
Like you can just do, you can pretend to do the like Tim Allen, like, and that's fine with me too. So
we'll allow it.
Yeah. So that's our show, guys.
Hey, thanks again for tuning in, gang. This was an interesting one. This was a wild one. But we're glad to be back here with season 4 coming back at you again. Any mm-hmm. parting remarks, Lisa?
Man, I'm so bad at this now. 77 episodes later, I have no witty banter left.
I don't want to close my eyes.
I don't want to miss that shit. Because I miss you, babe.
I don't want to miss a thing. Stay rad.
Stay rad.